July 22nd, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series brought to you by Civic Media and WAUK 540 AM Radio. I am your most passionate host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in the Work Hub Studios in downtown Waukesha. Yes, that is a mouthful. And tonight's a special treat at the very last second. Initially, we were going to have Aaron McGroovy as a guest, or one of the up-and-coming musical talents that many of you know is who tends bar during the day at Nice Ash Cigar Bar. But her, I guess, credits include playing the Les Paul first annual birthday party. And I think this was his 109th. And then she also played Summerfest. And then this Saturday, she'll be debuting at the historic Club 400. Did I say that right, Mary Jane?
Yes, you did.
Club 400, where it all began with the Les Paul legacy. So, but Erin had dinner plans with her mother that were in conflict, and certainly understandable. Moms always come first. But I'm privileged to have another mother of sorts, a very dear friend, a great friend of the city of Waukesha's, a downtown business owner for more than 42 years, who shows no signs whatsoever of slowing down. I'm really honored to have Stephanie Olson. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm great.
Great. Now, for many of you regular listeners, you might remember when Stephanie was on my radio show back in, it was June of 2024. And it was a different scenario, one involving her, shall we say, successful fight against injustice, against sexual assault. And, but I only mention this because it's, if you know Stephanie, you know that this doesn't define her. There is no, the word victim is not a part of her anatomy or her DNA. She's continues to work hard at her business. She has a full complement of customers. She does different types of shows for, and basically in the fashion craft, if you will. And she approached me recently. She's working with a local artist here named Melissa Hilmer, which is another great story. And they're basically taking children's art and repurposing it for women's fashion. So Stephanie, the floor, tell us more about that.
Okay. I came up with this idea. I've been doing art shows for years, actually decades. I started when I was 5. No, just kidding. I thought, you know, I make clothes and I go out on the road, do different festivals. And I repurpose fabric, or I buy fabric and I applique them on clothing, and then I sell them to women. And then I thought, you know, it's nice, it's fun and all this, but there's nothing to it. It's just getting kind of boring. And then I thought I should go around and get these kids to paint on fabric. And then I wear these things, and then people always come and ask me, what's that mean? Or what is that? And then I have a story, and believe it or not, I used to be shy. And
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. So anyway, I went to Melissa's art studio. It's Otto's Art Gallery, Art Academy, actually, downtown on Broadway. And she was gracious enough to let me have her students paint on fabric. And I just went in there and she said, well, what do you want us to do? And I said, can I give you some fabric and some paint and just ask the kids to just paint a flower? So I got all this fabric with their interpretation of flowers. Hmm. So I appliqued them on a dress that I was going to wear to an art show. And then I said, do you think they could just applique or just paint on some fabric and put their own names on this fabric? And nice. So I applique them on a dress that I wore to an art fair in Delafield, not last weekend, but the week before. And people are coming up to me and saying, wow, I love that dress. And I said, look a little closer.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's a name. That's a name. So I had a story on what I was wearing. And yeah. Then it's not so boring. It's not so quiet.
And you think of like gifts, like for the holiday, like the older we get, the harder we are to buy for, mm-hmm. especially moms and grandmas. You know, what do you buy for the people who have everything? And I guess this could work for men too. Like, hey, let's get the grandkids or the kids, if you're young, you know, the younger, if you're a young parent or a parent with young children, and come up with something like, just like, because yours were like slacks, right? Or it was like a blouse. It was different.
A dress.
Yeah, dress. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and you know, that's the kind of thing that mom might only wear it like once a year during the holidays because the kids are coming over or or whatever. But it's just the thought and the fact that your these memories are captured on something you can wear.
Oh yeah, and I mean, and you can always frame it. I do the thing I do, which is probably the least creative thing I do, is I get men's tuxedo shirts and I splatter paint on them and then fabric applique these like a Christmas theme.
Oh, neat.
You know, sport themes, all kinds of different, you know, blue jeans.
Are they like the straightforward tuxedo shirts or the ruffled ones?
No, the pleats. Okay. And
ruffles then, would be fun though too.
Yeah, so, I don't know, Don. But
you know, so I'm going home this weekend for my 40th high school anniversary, and the only reason I mention is that our senior year, the big album, the big movie was Prince's Purple Rain.
Oh, right.
And it was all about the ruffles back then. Yeah, you know, so we love that David Chappelle skit on where they're beating Eddie Murphy's brothers in basketball and they're all wearing ruffles and like women's high heels or something. And like, game, rough game. Was it ruffle? Or was that they said? Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But
I mean, I can applicate anything on anything. And I thought that would be such a neat thing. And the whole idea was there are so many talented kids in our, and like the next place I went to Art Links on Main Street here.
Okay.
And they have these kids with, well, not kids, or well, everybody's a kid to me, you know, I'm
sure
I'm old, but I got these people there, they're special needs and just special people to me. And Patty Jones is a teacher there, and she's going to have the kids paint fabric for me.
Okay.
And I said, just let them paint whatever they want on a piece of fabric. And then I take a plain dress that I made, and then I'm going to applique them. And then when the people ask me where I got that, I'm going to hand out cards to advertise their school. And then maybe they know, you know, somebody that needs some education or some place to, for fun or something to do. So maybe they'll go there for their school.
Mm-hmm.
And then Don Alexa, their art fair is coming up soon. And I asked the teacher there.
Whose art fair is that again? I'm sorry.
Don Alexa. Don Alexa was an art teacher years and years ago.
Okay.
And she died in a car accident. Oh. So they have a memorial for her.
And where does that take place?
It's on 83 in a park there in Delafield or Wales.
Okay.
Wales.
Okay.
And so I'm in touch with the director there now. And I sent her some pictures of what I did. And she said, well, what do you want out of this, or what's the deal? I said, I don't want anything except some attention. I love attention, but I don't want to be center of attention.
Yeah.
So but I want some of their artwork, because years ago one of the teachers did give me some.
Yeah.
And so I decorated a dress, and I wish I could show it here, but
sure.
I decorated a dress and I asked them all to paint fish. So I got all these fish on the bottom of a dress, and I put Don Alexa Memorial art fair. So I met Don Alexa's sister at this fair, and she cried, and she just thought it was great. So I got to wear that, and then everything has a story behind it.
Yeah.
And so I want them to do that, and I'll take their business cards. And then I got some t-shirts from a store here in Waukesha that says Friday Night Live. And I made a t-shirt out of that, all patchwork with all different t-shirts that said Friday Night Live on it. Made a dress, walked around on Friday night, and people, where'd you get that? Oh, are you selling those? And I'm like, no, it's my dress. Go and bring your own t-shirts and I'll make your dress. And so I advertised for the store I got those from. So it's all about marketing and advertising, because I've been in business 42 years and I got a lot of customers. So
I remember the one day I went to visit you and the phone would not stop ringing, nor the door would not stop. I mean, and that's great.
Yeah, and I shorten my hours, so I close on Friday, but I'm in there all the time working, and I love it. I mean, I wake up every day enjoying.
It's not like you're downtown, of course, but it's not like you're right on Main Street. Mm-hmm. It's not the easiest place to find, but people find it,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially your repeat customers, and then of course anyone that's referred. they're going to get nth degree directions from
I've never advertised sworn,
you know, loyal customers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's your product or your service. That's the best advertisement.
Yeah. And then my competition was Alina, and she was retired. Down the street.
Yeah. Mary Jane wanted me to mention her.
And you know, she used to work for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I first opened up out here.
And then she busted out on her own.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And she worked for me about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And then I came to work one day and she's like, I'm hanging
my own shingle.
I'm like, hey, I don't like competition.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like you want your competition to do well, and that just means how prosperous this little niche you're in.
No, I didn't want that. But
initially, but now, like I said, you not only survived it, but...
But you know what? She called me the other day and asked me if I wanted some notions, if I wanted anything. We hadn't seen each other in years, and I went over to see her, and it was like no time passed. And my God, it was great to see her, and we talked and just... You know, it was laughs and just old times.
That's great.
Yeah, and so we were going to keep in touch with each other.
That's terrific. So,
yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, and you see this, especially in restaurant business or certain types of retail. A business has been open for more than 10 or 20 years. Something about the concept, like, is no longer fresh, or it's, you know, it's just not. And, you know, again, it's like not only are you surviving the test of time, but you're continuing to thrive. What's your secret?
My charming personality.
that was one of, give me one of my guesses. Yeah, so.
But, you know, I have a couple people that work for me and they are master tailors. They are top of the line. And if one can't do it, the other one can. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think I've ever turned anything away. I mean, it's just always something that, I mean, we always.
When I see you deal with customers too, and this, you always have an even temperament. Like if they're in a stressed out situation, you don't go to that level. You kind of stay above that. And I mean, you have a very calming influence.
You've been in my shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there have been some more battles.
Well, you've been only there a couple minutes then.
Yeah. No, well, we had a nice sit, but, you know, so maybe that's not a fair sampling, but still, you can't argue with success, you know, 42 years and
still going strong. Like, I joke around a lot, you know, and so
that's important.
90% of people get my sarcasm or my, you know, my humor, but. Yeah, and if I can't do it, then I do refer people. Like, I used to refer people to Lena, and she used to do that to me. I mean, somebody can do it, you know.
Sure.
Unless, it's somebody bringing something in that, you know, I have to put two dresses together.
I hear you. So, but now going back to your project with the children's art, you're kind of partner in crime, if you will, this Melissa Hilmer.
Mm-hmm.
Is a great story in her own right. She's an accomplished artist. She told us over the phone that... she is submitting a bid for the Freedman Alley project that the city's given an RFP out, I presume.
Oh, she's fantastic. She's got a degree in art. I mean,
she was nominated again for Forbes Top 30 Under 30 or something like that for artists.
Yes.
And it's funny because I always, when I think of Forbes, I think business. So it's kind of cool that they're recognizing people at very local levels.
Yeah, yeah.
For their work. So, Melissa's agreed to come on the show at some point, and I really look forward to seeing her. And we're Mary Jane's here tonight. We're obviously in the Work Hub studios, Mary Jane Sanchez, and same thing, she's excited to meet her as well, and so I think we're gonna have a good time.
The other thing is the kids sell their artwork at the Steaming Cup downtown.
Nice.
They really do. Yeah.
Wow. So this is talking about collaborate, like, this is what community is supposed to be about. What Gaithers, you're involving several partners, collaborators.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe how win-win-win talented these kids are. They're really,
and then there's that too, like you talk about that self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
That self pride, that self love, like, that's neat. You know, you're talking about, and the thing is Melissa's more of a facilitator and a teacher in this scenario. It's not her work, it's the kids that are the Picassos.
Oh, here, you should go Rembrandt. In her classroom. It's really
something. We'll have to, I'll have to go. Jamie and I will have to go in there with you sometime.
But you know, I was supposed to be an art teacher, but I could never grade a kid on their art. That's all your self expression. How do you grade somebody's art?
I know, like, that's, and I was kind of guy that. Yeah, I learned how to draw within the lines because that's what they kind of be. But I also like drawing out of the lines and doing crazy stuff. It's funny, even as an adult, like, what's therapeutic for me is just taking a crayon. And this is when the kids were little.
Yeah.
I wish they were still little in that way because I liked coloring with them. And I would usually do, like, landscapes, especially, like, oceanside landscapes, like, where my family's from in Ireland. There's some, like, really great that I conjure up in my head. And That's really fun to do that with crayon.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone can do it.
Yeah.
And that's really neat.
Well, not anyone, but in high school, I had a teacher that I was good at ceramics, and the teacher said, I want 9 pots at the ceramic at this semester. Yeah. And I did 6 good mm-hmm. ones. And she said, D. And I said, oh, you want quantity, not quality. D, D minus.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's rough. But I've always been into art. So
my little, I guess, touch with greatness and art was in first grade, while I think it was failed kindergarten. In first grade. I wasn't a very good student at a young age. And I think because I just couldn't sit still for more than 10 or 15 minutes without going nuts. And that's why I was never more than a good student, like when it counted all through, like, you know, grade school and high school. But in first grade, like, kind of what really did it for me was they were the school. I was in Catholic school the 1 year, thank God. plug your ears, whoever's me or Riley or any of the other Catholic school survivors. But no, we had an annual publication where kids got to submit different stories, and the first graders got to do poems. And I wrote a poem that was selected, and it was published in a really prominent place. And it was in the old days when the print was like with the, you know, the spinner, the roller thing. Oh, it was like the bluish ink. But that was like that feeling of like gratification and like self-worth was like immeasurable. Because that's where I did best was in writing, English, social studies, history, like anything that had a story in it, I could do well. And but that all started with an art project. And like, I'm bashing Catholic schools, but it was a Catholic school project. And so I got to throw props to them. And because that at a young age, that made a huge difference in my life. So I can really appreciate what you and Melissa are doing for these young kids.
Well, see, I almost didn't get out of high school because I had to give a speech and I stuttered and I was so shy, I told you. So I knew I was good at ceramics. I did a speech in the dark on ceramics so nobody could see me.
Right.
Oh, nice. And I got out of high school.
Pretty cool.
So.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I took a class in speech senior, and I like public speaking. I still do.
Oh, I know you do.
And, you know, you still get nervous about it, but it's like the important thing is to be able to laugh at yourself
mm-hmm.
and not take yourself seriously. And one thing I learned from Simon Sinek, too, is that the best presentations start with a story.
Mm-hmm.
And you build that personal attention. And then you can throw in the metrics and the, you know, like nationwide, you know, whatever. But when you start with a very personal story, like, people can relate, especially if it's one where they're kind of overcoming adversity or necessity becomes the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. So, as my phone goes off, sorry about that, Max. So I'm getting a lot of spam calls these days too. But anywho, so, but in the 2 minutes that we have left in this first segment, like, what, where are some places where people can look at this, the children's art-inspired fashions?
Well, I have them at my shop, and every time somebody comes in for an
alteration. Tell us the address again.
740 North Grand Avenue.
740 North Grand Avenue.
On Grandin South.
Grandin South.
And they come in for alterations, but they have to have a show where I show them every single thing that the kids do.
Sure.
It's in my shop, whether they want to see it or not.
I think that's a good time. You can make an event out of that, Mary Jane. We'll have to figure that out.
That's for me.
And then I'm outside in the back of my shop painting and clothes and. Because they'll give me the fabric and then I paint around whatever they do.
Sure.
So, but it's really unique because people are always wondering, what is that? What is it? And then when I explain it, they say, oh my gosh, they're so talented. So it's kind of neat to see people's reactions.
That's neat.
But I'm waiting for Art Links and then Donna Lux. I can't wait to see what they're doing.
How many kids are involved?
I think they had about a dozen at Melissa's school. Otto Art Academy.
Otto's Art Academy. Yeah. And then you think this will probably maybe as it grows, it's going to attract maybe more kids and more parents to want their kids to participate.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping more kids will go to school. And I want to do some, Kurt Otto has a State of the Arts, and that's on South Street.
Okay.
And he's my neighbor, and his kids did some artwork for me a couple years ago, and I made a really neat tote bag out of it, and I kept that for myself. I wasn't going to share that. So, they did a nice job, and they did a great job.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, that winds up this first, segment of our podcast, and Stephanie's agreed to stick around for the second one. I hope you have some stories and maybe some of the kids to share,
yeah,
as well as some more details. And But yeah, we're also going to talk about what's going on in downtown Waukesha with businesses and life, and really just the art scene that's nobody thinks about it in terms of with music and all these different art studios. And
the kids,
I barely scratched the surface. And so more on This Week in Waukesha. I want to thank you all for participating in this first segment. Stick around for podcast 2. Thank you, Max, as always, for doing a great job. I don't think I mentioned Max as I usually do in my intro, so very, very embarrassed by that and very apologetic. But Max is he's a true professional. Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
So stick around. Well, don't go away, because we got part 2 coming up. We're just going to take a quick breath here as This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, continues. Thank you.
Thank you.